It sounds like the plot of an absurdist novel or a movie. A comedian decides to run for office as a joke, gets a bunch of kooky artist friends to help run his campaign, then doesn't know what to do when he wins. But it really did happen to Jan Gunnar, who was elected mayor of Reykjavik, Iceland in 2010. He's just finished serving his term in office and disbanded the BEST party, which he had founded in 2009, and he has recounted it all in his new book called Gunnar, How I Became the Mayor of a Large City in Iceland and Changed the World. It's published by Melville House. I'm very delighted it has brought Jan Gunnar to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Have you always been interested in politics?
No, I've actually never been interested in politics.
You write that your mother was a conservative and your father was a policeman and a communist. So
yeah.
There must have been a lot of talk about politics and some very interesting political discussions in your home when you were growing up.
Yeah, yes, that's right. My father used to try and get my mother into political debate. He was very... political, but I'm interested in politics as a theory, in political theory and philosophy, but not so much in contemporary. The last 4 years I have, but I didn't used to follow contemporary politics.
You weren't a news junkie who wanted to know what was going on in South Africa yesterday.
No, but for example, when I had announced that I had decided to run for mayor, I met a woman, and she asked me if that was correct, that I was running for mayor, and I said yes, and she said, well, good luck, and then I'll be seeing you, she said. And then she left, and I asked some people who was that, and they said, you don't know who it is? It's the mayor. this is just how little I knew about politics or the political situation.
Well, your background might have hurt you in other places. Mm. You were misdiagnosed with severe mental retardation when you were a child.
Yes.
How did that happen? You obviously are not mentally retarded.
Thank you.
At least not at first glance.
I showed some, when I, at early age, from the age of 3 or 4, I started showing some abnormal behavior symptoms. and I was taken, my parents took me to a doctor. From there, I was advised to the children's psychiatry hospital, where I was under observation for a little over a year.
Well, you say it was ADHD and maybe dyslexia. Well, these are not uncommon.
No, but at the time, this was in 1974 and 5. So the diagnosis I got was maladaptio, and the word maladaptio did not mean anything to my parents. My parents were working class people, and they didn't know. I mean, it's not even Icelandic, maladaptio. So it affected me in the way that everybody suspected or realized that something was not right, but they didn't know what it was.
Is that what led you to become a punk rocker, among other things?
You became
famous in Iceland at the age of 14.
Yes. It's easy. I mean, you cannot really get famous in Iceland, but you can get known.
If you live in Reykjavik, pretty much everybody lives in Reykjavik.
Yes.
So,
yeah. I was quite known, notorious, when I was a teenager as Johnny Punk. And I had a mohawk, and I had a ring in my nose, and I played in a band. So most people knew about me from early age.
I love the name of the band. It doesn't mean anything to people who don't speak Icelandic, Nefrensli, but it means runny nose.
Runny nose, yeah. We thought it was a very cool name. Yeah, but the band was more of a concept than an actual band.
Well, like most punk bands, don't you think? If you know how to play three chords.
Yeah. We had like three songs or something.
Your name, Jan Gunnar, doesn't follow the general rules of Icelandic names, which end in son for men and daughter for women. So that's not your birth name, is it?
No, my birth name, the naming tradition in Iceland and the law is that you have to be named after your father. So if you're like my son will be Jonsson.
I would be Leonard Albertson.
Yeah, that's so there aren't any surnames. In Iceland,
it'd be hard to track somebody's past history just through the names, because in other cultures, the last name or the first name in Asia is the name that remains true through generation after generation.
Exactly. But the naming law is very strict, and we have a naming committee. That you can, you know, if you want to come up with a name that hasn't been used before, you have to apply to the naming committee. I mean, it's silly, really. And
well, you could just go by your first name, as Björk does.
Well, Björk's name is Björk Gudmund's daughter, because her father's name is Gudmund, so she becomes Gudmund's daughter. But my first name is Jan. I mean.
And you say that you came up with Gunnar because your middle name is Gunnar and your mother used to pronounce it Gunnar?
Yeah, when she was calling me for supper. Jungner! She would call that, yelling from the balcony, and I always remember that.
Have you been able to change it legally?
Yes, I have. I can now. I am now allowed to call myself Jungner, but I still remain Jungner Christensen in my passport, and that's my fight with the government to have the right to be me. And
You write in the book that in Reykjavik there's a certain kind of democratic sensibility where everybody can know everybody. We don't so that you can know Björk, or people could know you, or you should have known who the mayor was.
Well, but I didn't. I just didn't follow politics.
Well, that with that in mind, and you had a successful career as a comedian and actor in films and TV, why did you decide to run for office?
I can have different explanations for it. I really don't understand myself or my brain, and sometimes I feel like I'm just a passenger, and my brain is the driver, and I'm just the passenger trying to figure out where we're going. I was on a vacation in Puerto Rico when I got this idea. Iceland was in after the financial collapse, the collapse of the banks, and it was everything was in chaos, and people were confused and afraid.
And people in other parts of Europe were blaming Iceland for their own economic problems.
Yes, and even people in Iceland, some people I knew, they were actually afraid of traveling abroad, and. Then we were entering into a program with the IMF, and I just felt somebody has to do something, I got this thought in my head, or my head got this thought and delivered it to me. When the going gets funny, the funny get going. So it was like. I wanted to try and help out. So I decided, maybe it was a combination of ignorance and bravery. I don't know.
My guess is Jan Gunnar, who's written a book called Gunnar, How I Became the Mayor of a Large City in Iceland and Changed the World. Did you think of it as a joke, a way of satirizing Icelandic politics, perhaps yes. making some points the way a political comedian might, or were you actually trying to win?
Well, in the early beginning, I didn't really know where this would lead to, but I soon realized that people appreciated it. So then it became serious. It became a serious alternative, and I was prepared to go through it all and become mayor and try to do as good job as I possibly could.
You came up with a great name for a political party, the best party.
Yeah, thank you.
Obviously, part of the joke. What was your party's platform? I know you promised people free towels at swimming pools.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Bill de Blasio doing that here in New York City, though people would like free towels.
No, but that seems to me to be the case always with politicians and political parties, that they're very, before the elections, they usually are very keen on promising, and they can promise you almost anything. And after the elections, it's a different thing. So I just invented the method, as it is customary in democracy, to promise before elections and then betray it after elections. I decided to focus on open corruption, and so I just told people I can promise you whatever you want to, because I'm going to break all my promises anyway after the elections.
You promised a polar bear for the zoo, and you promised to build a Disneyland in Reykjavik.
Yeah, and even a drug-free parliament by 2020.
Drug-free. There are just some things you can't deliver on. At what point in the campaign did you realize you might actually win?
Probably, because when it's getting close to the elections, like 2 weeks, the polls were showing major support for me.
Although you didn't win by majority, you won by a plurality, 34.7%.
Yeah.
And then you had to form a government with the Social Democrats, the Social Democrats who have been blamed for many of the problems of the past.
Yes.
But they would have been more kindred spirits to you than the conservatives?
Yes. They were more respectful towards us, I would say. Less disrespectful. So but it was a big risk for them, because when the leader of the Social Democrats was discussing this idea of going into a coalition with us, people advised him from it, and they said, you know, if it works out well, he will take the glory.
And if it doesn't, you're going to be blamed.
Yeah, and if it doesn't work, you're going to be blamed. So it's lose-lose for you. But he had the courage to do it, and we came out, as I think, both as winners.
When you decided not to run again, mm-hmm. You were riding high in the polls. You probably would have won re-election.
Yes.
Did other members of the Best Party also get elected to municipal offices?
Yes. I decided to end the Best Party, because it's the right thing to do. Members of the Best Party merged into a different political party called Bright Future, and that is a typical liberal democratic political party, and some of us have even got into parliament.
How did your wife and children feel about your political career?
Well, that came as a bit of a surprise to me. I have five children. Most of them are in their 20s. They had very, very little interest in my work as mayor. And they weren't, because they're usually quite interested in what I'm doing as an artist, usually show interest. But when it came to my work as mayor, they didn't show any interest at all. But my youngest son, he is 9. I told him I had decided not to run again, and I asked him, what do you think about it? And he said, I think it's the right decision, Dad. And anyway, anybody can be mayor, but there is only one man who can be my dad, and that was the point of no return for me.
We have very little time, but once you became the mayor, you actually had to function like a mayor. So mm-hmm. did you have to stop being funny?
No. I mean, you don't necessarily, just because you're funny doesn't mean that you can't be serious.
Your subtitle is You Change the World.
Yeah, well, I've been saying that I look at the best party or the idea of the best party a bit like the first little mammal in the world of the dinosaurs.
What did you do that? Did you give out those free towels or?
No. I raised the entry fees for. But that's what I promised. I mean, that's just what had to be done.
Jan Gnaar will be speaking at the Hudson Union Society tonight at 7:00. To register for it, you can find a link on our show page at wnyc.org. Gnaar, How I Became the Mayor of a Large City in Iceland and Changed the World, is published by Melville House. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.